Just a note before we get into the speaker. With the addition of two new missions, Covenant Fellowship now supports. The missions committee has updated the missions map showing their location. And the missions map, probably, I have it here somewhere. This is the missions map. We've updated this map showing the location of our two new missionaries. On the reverse side, there's a listing of the missions with a brief sentence telling a little bit about their ministry. We will be handing these maps out at the end of the service today as you leave. So please take one and use it as a tool for praying for our missionaries and the people that they are serving. Now, today we are delighted to have representatives from the newest mission we support, Building Families for Children. We have several representatives here, and Brenda Ullman is the program director for the Safe Families Program. Just stand up and show yourself. And Catherine Fields, is your last name? Catherine Fields is the director of marketing, is that right? Would you just stand up and wave? And then, last but definitely not least, we have Ryan Van Orsdell, who is our speaker this morning. And I understand that Ryan is coming as a volunteer who supports Building Families for Children. And he's involved in the Safe Families Program as well as the Foster Treatment Program and has himself been a foster dad. And we're thankful for Ryan and his willingness to come and share about BFC this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Like she said, my name is Ryan, and I have been, just a real quick background about myself, I have been involved with Building Families for Children, which is in Colombia, for about 3 years now. I've known about it for a longer period of time. I wanted to get involved about 5 years ago, but then my wife had my son, who's back there, and his first couple, yeah, there you go, buddy. His first couple years, he had a lot of medical problems, so we had to wait till he was a little bit more settled to get involved. And I'll give you a real quick just snapshot of BFC. One side of the organization provides foster care, and it's mostly, you know, Christian families that have wanted to get involved and help out. There's a huge foster care need. Especially coming from some of the more cityed areas like Baltimore and some of the places, other counties that have like real high populations, but also a lot of people in need. And BFC, you know, trains people to be foster parents, gets you very prepared, and then helps you into the foster care system and helps you through the actual foster care process. The other side of BFC, which I've been involved with for about, involved with as far as like talking to people for a longer period of time, but we've actually been participating as a family for about 7 months, something like that, is family preservation. So you have a lot of families that have needs that they don't know how they're going to meet. You know, you might have a single mom who's had a baby or about to have a baby, and, you know, maybe she's going to lose her job because she's about to have a baby and she can't, you know, the job won't permit her to stay in the job while she recovers from the birth. And so the family preservation side of Building Families for Children seeks to find those people that are in need and meet their needs. Needs are various, so they do a lot of different things. So they might have a child. So going with the previous example, they might have a child that needs to stay with somebody for 6 weeks while the mom recovers from giving birth, finds a new job, and gets settled in a new apartment. That way, social services doesn't have to take the child. They don't have to go through the foster care system, which can be pretty traumatic for a child. That way, the family that takes care of the child can be a friend to the mom. It can be very open. It's not as confusing to the child because of the fact that there's this open friendship. The mom stops by often. the child, you know, whether, you know, and sometimes it's more than one child. So family preservation seeks to meet whatever needs they can to help the family stay together. And that's the side of the ministry that I'm involved with right now, and my wife is involved with. She just came back with my daughter back there, so if you guys all want to wave. Because she honestly, when I go to work during the day, does a lot of the heavy lifting with hosting children and things like that. So that said, those are the two sides of the ministry. There's foster care, and then there's family preservation, which is safe families. What I wanted to do is read a few scriptures. I'm a big believer in kind of soaking in the scripture. So I'm going to read the scriptures that I'm going to read twice and slowly so that we have a little bit of time to consider. And that's something that I like to do with my family, with my friends, is read the scriptures a couple times, read them slowly and let the Lord speak to me. So I'm going to do that right now. And I think, especially as we sit in them, it'll make a lot of sense as to why these are the scriptures I chose for today. The first scripture is John 14, starting in verse 1. So if anyone wants to turn there, I'll give you a second to get there. I am reading the ESV, and I don't know what versions you may have. I tried to read the King James yesterday, and I'm a little dyslexic, and with the difference, my reading was pretty rough. So, starting at John 14, 1, I'm going to go ahead and read there. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I'm going to go back to the beginning of that one and read it one more time. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." All right, the second verse that I'm going to read this morning is from Ephesians 5, starting in verse 1. So if you guys want to go ahead and turn to there. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." I'm going to read it one more time. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So I'm going to start by explaining a few things from John 14, and just make some comments on Christ's heart for us. So Christ is walking with his disciples. He's living a human life with them. He's facing, everyday struggles and much more than that because of, the obedience that he showed to the Father and the persecution he faced in response to that. He knows why he's here. He knows that he has come to die for our sins. And he takes a time out to explain to the disciples that it's not just that he's paying for their sins. He is going to prepare a place for them. He is reconciling them to the Father. He is not only going to pay for their debts, but he is making a place, a home, and bringing them into a family. There goes Brooke. I think I wanted to speak on this today because, you know, Ephesians, the other scripture that I read, talks about being imitators of God. And as I've gotten involved with the ministry at BFC, with, you know, foster care and family preservation, I think both me and my wife have been in a long-term position of being like, we want to serve, we want to love others. We have a heart for adoption. We have, like, you know, just this desire. God has shown us love. We feel like we've been adopted into God's family. God has made a home for us. We haven't completely seen all of it yet, but he is there preparing a home for us. And that's worked into our hearts and made our hearts new and made us people who want to show that kind of love to others. And as we've gotten there, I think there was, you know, there was an extended time where we were showing care for my son who had medical difficulties when he was first born. I think during that period of time, and even while, when we were first married and didn't have kids, we had a kind of a long-term situation where we felt like there was a lot of needs and they might be just down the street. We just didn't know about them. We were sitting there going like, I don't know, you know, who needs what, and we don't know how to make that connection. And I think what I want to encourage you to do is to meditate as a people on God's love for you, on the fact that he came, he lived, he died for you, and now he is right now preparing a place for you and a welcoming into your home in heaven, into the place that he is preparing for you right now. There's so much love and care for you. And I want to encourage you to be a fountain overflowing, to seek out the people that need a family, the people who are living in cars right now, the families that don't have two parents right now, and offer the love of Christ to them. You know, treat them as people that you want to invite into the family of God, that you want to find out what their needs are, find out what they need to have some semblance of a home and some semblance of a family. Because, you know, like as we've been more aware since we got involved with BFC, for instance, like on a really practical level, we will get a few emails a week just on needs that are in the community. Sometimes it's just, okay, there's somebody that needs two blankets and a couch in Baltimore. And I don't know why, but I guess I do know why, but my heart kind of loves the fact that I now know what people need, because I don't want to just go home from work, be like, oh, well, we're all taken care of, we're going to watch TV and go to bed, because it's like, well, there's the Lord has sown into me so much love. And I love the fact that I have like these partners at BFC that are working hard to find out what the needs are, to present them to people who want to sow into those other people. And there's something of a completeness to be able to then overflow into somebody else's life. It's like if you're sitting there and you're receiving so much from the Lord and you haven't taken that opportunity to then love others, It's almost like you know, putting a dam up in a river, and it's like the river wants to flow. Like I want to sow back out into other people's lives, and I see that this organization has a real infrastructure built and practical things in place to make people aware of the opportunities. It's not. Though there's a lot of work that goes into it, it's not a very complicated ministry either, in the sense of like, it's mostly people's needs and finding people that are willing to like serve and lay down their life to go and be a ministry to these other people. I don't have a whole lot more to say past that. I didn't also want to end with a an encouragement to, you know, just to serve or to look for opportunities to serve in BFC. What I wanted to end with is just the riches that you guys have in Christ, that we have in Christ. That Christ is right now preparing a place for us. That God has invited us into his family, made us right with the Father, given us an avenue to approach the Father, and is preparing a home, like an actual home for us. I wanted to encourage you that that's being done for us. The Lord is being faithful to us. He has cared for us. His love for us is great. And I want to encourage you to meditate on that and do whatever the Lord inspires in your heart to then imitate, whether it's through BFC or you know of another person that has a need or whatever, you know, like, I don't want this to just be an encouragement to you know, because we'll be here, we'll be answering questions about, you know, like how, if you would like to get involved, how you can do that. But I want more than that. I want to encourage you all just to be fountains overflowing, to meditate, receive from the Lord, understand how much the Lord has loved you, is loving you, is currently preparing a place for you, how he is before the Father, advocating for you, preparing a welcoming for you. Like, there's just so much good that the Lord is doing for you now. And then to let that be a natural outflow to others. I love the simplicity of the Lord's love. It's like he says that he wants to make us a fountain overflowing, and then he provides the water. And I think a lot of times all we have to do is just receive and overflow. So I am going to also pray and then say one or two more things about the practical of like what BFC does and a few things there. So, Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for preparing a place for us. Thank you that we are beloved children of God. We were separate from you. We were not at peace with you, but we are at peace with you because of Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus Christ is alive. We thank you that Jesus Christ ministers before the Father on our behalf. We thank you that he prepares a place for us now as we speak, that he is preparing a place for us. We thank you that we have a home. And we pray, Father, that we would be those who go and seek to reconcile others to you, those who seek to encourage others to have a home, to accept the promises of God, to believe on Christ. Lord, we pray that we would do that through practical expressions of love, whether it's the neighbors in our actual neighborhood or people down the road, or, you know, what other avenues you give us. Lord, we pray that we'd be faithful to express the love that we've received out to other people, and that we would be even more filled and even more pleased and even more at joy and at peace, knowing that we have passed the love of God along to others. We pray that we would not be passive. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that we would be active ministers of the love that we've received. And we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would make us effective. Amen. There's a few things that I wanted to mention as far as practical ways that if you think that BFC is a ministry that you're going to look at, or if the Lord leads you there. I just wanted to mention that. So my family, we'll host children. We'll have children come stay with us during short periods of time, or, you know, things while the family's getting their feet, or while, you know, other needs are met. But I wanted to encourage you too that that's not all the family preservation is. So there's a lot of people who need mentorship. For instance, like if somebody's living in their car with their kids, there's a good chance it's because they didn't learn certain things growing up. You know, like they maybe didn't learn, you know, basics of like how to really hold a job, you know, how to approach, you know, career stepping stones. Like, for instance, like some people get into a job, they don't understand how to advance in a job, so they feel hopeless, and they don't really put their heart into their job, and then they end up losing their job. Maybe they've never had a parent that explains to them, like, hey, listen, if you're faithful here, you know, then these other opportunities open up for you and you can kind of move along. You're not always going to be stuck where you started. That may seem second nature to some of us. Like I had parents who were very active in my life who, you know, sowed all kinds of seeds like that into my life from the point when I was young. Some people have never had that. They don't know the what would seem basic to some of us, maybe the advanced class for them. So there's like a real need for mentorship for a lot of people, where it's like they might just need somebody to talk through where they're at in life and to offer some advice. Some of that advice that might seem basic to you might change their life. You know, like you might have a massive ministry effect in somebody's life and open doors for them that have been shut for years by just being there to listen and being there to give some advice. You know, and I'll say the listening part. Some people have never really been listened to well. So, like, you know, even that can help. There's a mentorship opportunity in some of what they do that I kind of feel like some of you all might really benefit people, and it may not even be something that takes a lot for you. It may seem something that's second nature to you that just somebody else has never had, you know, and it might change their life. There's also, like I said, the hosting. Sometimes the hosting, people who are hosting need other practical help while they're hosting. So, you know, somebody like my family might be, okay, we're going to have this child for 6 weeks in our house while maybe the mom or dad get some things in order so that they can have their child back in, like, you know, a home that's functioning right. They get their routine down, all that kind of stuff. Well, having an extra kid or two kids in our house might bring up needs for us. So, like, there's kind of an opportunity to come alongside families who are having people in their home. Family is a diverse thing, and a lot of different, you know, opportunities and a lot of different situations come up when you open up your family to helping more people. So when those come up, sometimes there's need for more community, you know, whether it's, you know, rides. So maybe everything works to have two extra kids in our family, except one of the kids needs to get to, like, their practices somewhere, and we can't arrange everybody's schedule to make it get there. So maybe they have somebody come along and say, I'll do the rides, and that also opens an opportunity for you to befriend the child, befriend the family, become some, you know, a help, a community resource for them. There's financial donations, which are pretty straightforward. Like, this is not a state-funded, the family preservation side is not a state-funded organization. It's pretty much run by people's donations and the generosity of the body of Christ. So if the Lord leads you to give there, that's always helpful. And then I know I've kind of mentioned this in passing, but there's also just material needs that come up pretty often. Sometimes it's not even with family preservation. Sometimes it's not all that they need a new situation. Like the kids need to go somewhere or something. Sometimes it's literally like they don't have beds. So like sometimes it's like, well, if somebody with a truck can get with somebody who can find a couple beds that people aren't using anymore, they can solve. I mean, if you put yourself in the shoes of maybe a single parent or two parents who just got their feet and can't afford beds, and they're looking at their finances and they're saying, it's going to take us 2 months at our jobs to be able to afford beds. So, that's a hard situation because they're saying, we're working, things are getting better, like, but it's going to take us this long to just be able to buy new beds for our family. There's a lot of material needs like that come up where, you know, you might say, hey, me and these two other people, between the three of us, we can get enough beds and a truck and get over there, and tonight those kids can sleep in beds and the parents can have a place that's, you know, better situated. So there's all kinds of needs that come up, and they're all life-changing if they're filled with the people that we often work with. So I encourage you, I'd love to talk to you more. Brenda or Catherine would love to talk to you more. If the Lord is encouraging you to get involved, we'd love to be the people that you kind of plug in with and get started. I can say for myself, it's been a huge ministry to me and to my wife and to my kids. My kids are growing up knowing that some people are living in cars, and my kids are growing in their compassion at the ages of 3 and 7 in ways that I did not even have categories for until I was in, you know, late teenage years. So it's been a huge blessing to my family as we've reached out to other people, and I want to encourage you. I think it'll be a blessing to you as well. Any way that you love people is always going to be a blessing to you in some way as well. So thank you for hearing me out. Thank you for your time. I'm really honored to be able to speak to you, and it's been great to be here.